What's going on, everybody? Oh, that's too many people on the list. Might be. My name is Dylan James Cook, or Mr. Taizai, and I am your host for the Nerdable Podcast today. With me, I got...
Are you going to intro me? I thought you were going to give me a little more than that.
You did your own name.
I am Gage. I am here again.
Yeah. One more time.
Not the last time, though.
Yeah. And then we also got this man. Hello. Oh, my God.
It had to be done.
The chairs.
Hey, guys. What's going on?
We're, like, artificially making technical issues for you, Dylan. Just
Hello? Hello? Guys, can you hear me?
I'm such a horrible human. It's great.
Next up on the agenda, Dal.
Hi.
Dal, are you there?
Yeah, I'm here. Can you hear me?
Alright. Oh, I could do this literally all day.
Literally every week starts the exact same way.
People are thinking, like, will these guys ever get it together?
Chloe, are you there?
Hello, I am here. Hello,
Chloe.
Can you hear me?
Everybody got one. Good.
What's going on?
We were first messing with Dylan, and then Dylan decided to mess with the rest of you guys. So.
I could literally do that every single day for the rest of my life, and
it would be fine.
It was a very short life. I'm not gonna lie to you.
That was like no.
All right. Well, yeah. What's going on, everybody?
Happy Easter.
Happy Easter as well. I have family in the other room as well. So once we're done here, I'm gonna go and like have crepes or something. I'm not sure. I don't know what's going on for Easter, but like there's things happening. Did everyone have a good Easter over in the UK?
Yeah, I got so much chocolate.
You say that like it's a lot. You're like, oh, I have chocolate. This is the worst.
It's genuinely like you have too much. I'm looking and I'm like, this is too much.
You know you don't have to eat it in one sitting, right?
Well, I mean, no, you do.
There, I'm going to eat it. If it's
I'm like mad props if you do, but you don't have to eat it in one session.
Yeah, but
I can. It's a high likelihood, but...
I mean, yeah. I mean, I'm going to go downstairs and I'm going to take out the rest of my Ben & Jerry's and I'm going to rip the shit out of that.
Ooh, Ben & Jerry's.
What kind of Ben & Jerry's?
It's like the One Love limited edition flavor, so it's like banana flavored ice cream with caramel swirls and like chocolate peace symbols. Meant to be like a Rasta style thing. It's actually really good.
Interesting.
So, does it also have like THC in the ice cream? Because like,
no, that's fish food.
Yeah, nah.
That would be hilarious. I wonder if that's something that like because. You guys know, of course, that here in Washington and also in Colorado, weed is legal now. So it's like, I feel like those stores, they're trying to like put weed in everything now. Because I've heard so many different people talking about that. It's like, I'm waiting for there to be like, you know, marijuana ice cream and shit like that.
I wish I could just buy pop brownies.
Yeah, you can. Like, there's so one down the street from my house. It's weird, actually.
Yeah, I wish.
On the way to the college, when I used to have to walk there, I would walk down like the highway, and I would literally walk by the place as it was opening every day, like 10 minutes before it opened, and there was a line. There was a like, line of people waiting for the building to
You open. Gotta wake and bake.
Yeah, basically.
Yeah. Well, you gotta wake, hue, and then bake, I guess.
Yeah, you gotta pick it up, and then the baking actually begins, so.
But yeah, Chloe, I'm just saying, I know a guy.
Does he have a pot brownie business?
Next up on the list of
he owns an oven.
Things spoken of. So, aside from that, what is everyone who has topics that they're ready to use and peruse, and who doesn't, you should like go to the front page of nerdable.com and find something interesting to talk about, shouldn't you? Huh? Yeah, wow.
I mean, I could do that, but that would involve going on the site.
Is the site working right now? I think Aaron said he broke it.
No,
the site's dead. So
he's working on something.
Are you kidding? It's not working.
Aaron broke
the
site.
Have you not been paying attention to the group chat?
No,
I wasn't paying attention because I was running the show.
The first topic can be about Aaron breaking the site.
All right, yeah. So let's talk about the instability of running your own website.
Aaron, when you hear this, we love you, really.
Mm. Yeah.
Literally, I know I broke it. Lol. Wow. Well, then you can go to the hashtag news section. And you can scroll up and look at all these titles and bylines, and that's about it.
I mean, I've got a topic, but I'm not really sure if we want to open with it. So,
Go for it. I don't care. I'm out.
All right. Okay. So I'm not sure if everyone knows, but I've been talking about it recently. X-Men Blue, the new sort of re-envisioning of the original X-Men team. So that's Beast, Cyclops, Jean Grey, Bobby, the Iceman, and someone else. And Angel. They get pulled forward in time by Beast after there's been a big mutant war thing or something. So he pulls like the past versions of them into the future or something, and stuff happens. And yeah, so X-Men Blue it's an interesting one. I don't know all that much about X-Men anyway, so I thought, you know, I'll go into this completely kind of blind and see what happens. The art style, for one, is incredible. I really enjoyed that kind of the art that they've got going. But it's more of a teaser of things to come, and I'm very confused. Because the X-Men team that you follow throughout the issue, I was about to call it an episode then, it kind of was, but anyway, the team you follow, sort of, they finish the mission, and then they come back to X-Men headquarters, and they talk to someone. I don't want to say who it is because I don't want to ruin it for anyone that might go and read the comic. And it's kind of interesting choice. It's going to be impressive. You know, it's going to be very interesting to see what happens as the series develops. The author who's writing it leaves like a little message at the back saying, you know, this is just a taster of what we've got in store, and lists some of the things that you might see coming back and stuff like that. And I think it's going to be really interesting. But what I wanted to ask is, what's everyone's opinions on the comic book world and how they sort of, you know, every couple of years or so, they'll be like, right, we're going to relaunch these guys in a different story thing, and we're going to run it by a different name, and you guys can pick that up, and it's going to be completely different.
An interesting thing is, like you were mentioning, how it's like a teaser is, like Aaron even said in the group chat, that's very common for number ones, and that's like super common. Like think about Captain America Steve Rogers number one last year, and how that like literally hit the front page of every single like social media site when, you know, Hail Hydra happened.
Yeah,
I remember reading that issue too. I didn't have it spoiled or anything. I didn't see the headlines. I was just reading the issue, and I see the end, and I'm like, oh shit, nice. I see what they're going for. And then I see people getting mad about it, and I'm like, dude, you know how comic books work, right?
Your like, stream's dead, right?
Yeah, stream just went down.
It just went down?
Hold on, I'm refreshing now.
Wait. All right, let me give OBS a second. Yeah, no, it... All right. It's back.
Wait. Our next topic is going to be how we can't...
Instability of Twitch streams.
Jesus.
Yeah, the instability of Twitch streams. OBS disconnected and it reconnected. But what I was going to say was, comics have to find new ways to keep engaging the reader and pulling them in. Mm-hmm. And then after that, then it will always switch back to the status quo. Like right now, Spider-Man is like running Parker Tech Industries or something.
Oh. Yes. Yes, he is. I'm loving that bit. Just saying.
One sec. It also just died again.
But oh my God.
But here's the thing, is that...
why are you still talking? I can edit this later.
Yeah, I know. But here's the thing, is that Parker Tech, that's temporary. It's not going to stay that way. Like, sometime soon, Parker's gonna end up for some reason poor again and living like with Aunt May and being like in college or something, because comics always needs a return to the status quo. It's just what happens, because this, like, the writers get lazy and they always want to like take things back to their roots. That's why like every big dramatic change somehow gets undone. And it's like it's a bad thing, because it makes it feel like stories don't have any permanence, but it's also kind of a good thing in that you know, it makes it so that, you know, every story sort of has like a kind of like a time limit. Like, you know, that
they've got like a limited lifespan kind of thing.
Yeah, so if you don't like something or something's weird, then you know there isn't it's not just gonna be like a forever change. And
see, I would be inclined to agree with you. However, the current run of The Amazing Spider-Man, the one you're talking about, where Peter Parker is running Parker Industries and he's living in China, because you've got Silk, Jessica Drew, who's Spider-Woman, and like a couple other spider-powered people running around like America and New York and stuff. And so, like, and obviously Silk and Petey had that weird sort of animal attraction to each other. They couldn't resist each other, and so that's why she was like, "You need to leave," kind of thing. So he leaves. He's now living in China, running his own company. This all comes off the back of Superior Spider-Man. And if you've read the Superior Spider-Man arc, it's a very odd one where Dr. Octopus's brain, or like thoughts and mind, gets put in Peter Parker's body, and he runs around being a complete ass to pretty much everyone.
Yeah, yeah.
And it changes a lot of things. And obviously, the Superior Spider-Man sets up Parker Industries. And then when Petey gets his body back, which is something I don't know because I haven't read Superior Spider-Man, and it doesn't clear it up at the start of the Volume 3 of Amazing. So because of the fact it follows directly on from Spectacular, I would be very, very, very much inclined to believe that this is going to be a permanent thing, at least for a while.
Yeah, at least for a while. And that's the thing, is that it'll be there for at least, like, several years, but you can't tell me in, like, 15, 20 years, somehow, like, you know, he's going to be slumming it and, like, going back to school or something dumb.
Oh, yeah, there'll be some kind of, like,
characters don't grow up thing and stuff like that.
Yeah, there'll be some kind of time thing where everything gets rewritten, but, yeah. Yeah, I get what you're saying. I appreciate that, and I accept it, and I think it's good. And I personally enjoy these sort of it's kind of like a relaunch kind of thing, because they get to
soft reboots, yeah.
Yeah, they get to bring in new writing staff. They get to take in new sort of aspects and things like that. And I think they can run in some really interesting ways.
Yeah.
As a but DC fan, I'm fine with reboots. They happen every other year.
They do their reboots pretty frequently. Marvel was like impressive in that the closest they've done to a reboot was what was it called? Oh, it just happened like 2 years ago.
All new and all different.
No, not all new, all different. Like that's a numbered relaunch, but the lore is still the same. Secret Wars.
Oh God, yeah.
Yeah, Secret Wars is the closest they've done to a reboot, and like that was a really cool story.
That needed to happen though, because so many people died.
Yeah, exactly.
So many people died.
That's why you get infinite timelines, man.
Even in like Civil War One, like the fucking kill count from that was pretty crazy. Like, I'm pretty sure Colossus dies, and I was like, Jesus Christ, you gotta kill Colossus? Oh wait, you literally just you just killed Colossus. Cool.
That's fine. Yeah.
I mean, I'm not a big fan of him anyway, so it wasn't a big loss, but, you know. Just saying.
It's funny, though. It's funny.
I'm not really a comic book guy, to be honest, but I kind of feel like they need to, like, this is a good thing, surely. I mean, I love the X-Men, I think, of all kind of superhero squads or kind of canon. The one I'm most familiar with is the X-Men. Any new X-Men content, I love reading, even if I don't read the comics, I still tend to follow the general story arcs of them afterwards, just because I'm interested in that group. So I'm kind of like reboot as much as you want. You can go back and set an alternate timeline if you want, just like you did at the end of was it Days of Futures Past, or was it the one after that?
I think it was the end of Apocalypse, but I couldn't tell you. I've seen Future Past, and it doesn't seem to rewrite everything. Kind of. I mean, it sort of does. Actually, no, yeah, it is Future Past. Yeah, the whole point is rewriting the timeline.
Yeah.
So I'm cool with that. They can do it as much as they like. But as I said, as a comic book fan, I can't really comment on comic books.
Yeah, no, that's fair.
I'm the same. Yeah, it's like the other day I was looking at I was writing an article about Cable being cast for Deadpool 2. And so I was like, okay, I don't know the character Cable. I'll look into him. And then it told me like 5 different versions of him. And I'm like,
yeah.
Okay. But
it's existed for like 70, 60 years. That'll happen.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. I mean, I like that it feels like with comic books, looking into it from my point of view, when you have something like Marvel or DC, they have the liberty to like change. Whereas, you know, with most storylines, we talked about this like a few weeks ago, didn't we?
A little bit of the reboot stuff.
Yeah, it's like in some media, it's kind of difficult to execute. Whereas with comic books, the one thing I do like about them is that, you know, and almost like the fans can just choose what they consider canon, what they don't, and stuff like that. So I like the liberty of comics, and I still need to get into comics, but literally there's so many.
There's a lot.
Yeah, I'm getting into comics than it seems, actually. It's weird, but like it's not at the same time, especially because they do so many relaunches.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. You know?
Which I'm fine with. I'm okay with, you know, other artists and writers taking liberties with things to make new stuff. Like Dylan said, he thought reboots or origin stories were kind of lazy to go back and redo them. But I don't think I agree with that necessarily, because I welcome that kind of thing to put a new spin on some stuff. Just different.
Yeah. Well, half the time though, they never really change anything. Like
I mean, true and untrue. I guess it depends on who you're following. There's a Batman line where, instead of his parents dying at the beginning of the his story, that he dies, Bruce Wayne dies, and his parents go on to be
that's Flashpoint, and that's like a completely different story.
Right,
that's
but it's fun, different.
But like, yeah. So there's a difference between telling like an alternate universe and telling the same thing again. Like fucking Batman versus Superman spent so much time on like, you know, his parents dying. It's like, yeah, we know, we've seen Batman movies before. This is like the 4th reboot in a decade. I am aware, and it's like everyone in the audience knows. So why are we going over it? That's why Spider-Man Homecoming isn't fucking with Uncle Ben and shit.
I'm okay with the movie stopping the origin scene, because we've seen it so many times. Everyone knows the origin of Batman, but you can change, you know, Joe Cool. I mean, if you want to follow the Joe Cool line, or if he turns into the Joker later on, like he did in the 89 movie. I mean, you could do a lot of different things with it, but you don't have to start there always.
Yeah, that's fair. It's just always interesting seeing the, I guess, different adaptations, because like another way I put it is that superheroes and like comic book characters are like the modern day mythological heroes, like think Greek lore, where, you know, people keep retelling the same stories, and over time, over centuries, the Greek lore gets adapted into like Roman lore, and it's different. It's a natural evolution, and it's sort of the same thing with like comic book characters, where the same names and figures and symbols just sort of metamorphosize over time and become
interesting. I'd love to know why you think Thor fits in.
I mean, like in a way, it's the same sort of feeling of, you know, the way people idolize and talk about and you know, spread like the stories. It's the stories spread, and the way they change over time is in a very organic, similar fashion. The only other closest thing you can talk about is like political figures or like celebrities, and that's not the same, because they're like actually human beings.
Well, they already think they're gods anyway.
Yeah, exactly. So there's not really a point. But yeah, that's comic books. Good one, Spud. Good one.
Ah, I did good. Yeah.
Now back to Zelda.
Oh, God. I have something that I think we could all put our 2 cents in.
Oh?
The Last Jedi!
Star Wars.
Star Wars well, two things actually, because we've got The Last Jedi, the first like teaser trailer was released, and the like teaser poster, and Battlefront 2 had its like little trailer as well. So
yeah, and
some newbie stuff.
And according to a lot of the stuff going on, it's going to not be a half-finished pile of junk like Battlefront 1.
That's all I need. I played the first game, but I only ever had the base game, because I wanted to
first game.
Well, like the first one in the new version.
Yeah.
You get
so
me.
I'm so tilted.
I think the hate goes too far. I think the hate goes too far.
What I'm taking from this is the... Because no one sort of thinks of the original Star Wars Battlefront. You'd think of the original Star Wars Battlefront 2. What I'm taking from this is the new Star Wars Battlefront 2 is going to do exactly the same thing as the original one did and make you completely forget that Star Wars Battlefront existed and just give you Battlefront 2, which is everything we want it to be.
Everything that the first new version should have been.
Yeah.
Here's the way EA games work, is an EA game releases and you wait like 2 years and then you buy the game because then it's actually finished.
Yeah.
And has all the content.
Yeah, no. I mean, I didn't buy the game straight away when it came out a couple years ago. I played it because Force Awakens came out and I was like, okay, Star Wars phase, let's just get it out of my system. And it was really fun at first, and then when the DLC started coming out, I am someone who, like, unless it's, like, a story-based DLC, I don't want anything to do with it because it's not worth, personally, my own money. So, but the problem was, okay, sure, add different levels. Sure, make me pay twice the amount of the game. But then it was just, they were selling weapons with it, more powerful, like, items, and it just got ridiculous. So I just hope they do this with a little bit less, you know, well, I mean,
they won't.
It's always gonna be like, you like Star Wars, cool. Give us all your money. We're gonna milk this baby till the end. But I really hope it's not as much of a cash grab.
I think the hate goes too far on the first Star Wars Battlefront. I actually like the game a lot, and was that?
Yeah, it's a good game. Like, it's stunning. It was a really fun game to play. It was just when
it
you
just
added
wasn't worth
everything,
$60.
It was half a game for like a full price, and there was no I'm just praying for, like, it seems like they said the word story. I hope there's a campaign. I really hope there's like a good solo campaign.
They've already mentioned that there's like going to be a story or a campaign kind of thing, and that's what I love. Yeah. Is all these games that are deciding we don't need campaigns, like Titanfall and Battlefront, and then they realize campaigns. Like,
yeah, but I mean,
you guys are idiots.
Even then, the majority of the people who play those games don't play the campaigns.
But then you get people ranting and raving and talking about the campaigns are spread.
Again, that's a vocal minority, in my opinion. Yeah. I mean, because the same thing, if Call of Duty took away their campaign, you'd have people, you know, yelling about, where's your campaign? Why can't I can't play in the story mode? What are you talking about?
Then you wouldn't have Titanfall 2 winning awards.
I mean, it won a few awards, but like, it was still outdone by Battlefield 1 and Call of Duty. It was still, yeah, and those games still sold this.
Not for its story, though. Like, I've heard so many people ranting and raving because Titanfall 2 story mode is actually like one of the best FPS campaigns a decade.
Disagree. So I played through the thing and I liked it, but I don't think it's one of the best FPS campaigns.
That's because
there
FPS
are.
Campaigns have stagnated and been super boring.
I don't think that's true either.
I think that's super true. I've played so many
first
shooters
person shooters. I play them all that come out, and I again here I'll defend Call of Duty. I think every Call of Duty game that comes out does a little innovation somewhere that where it does make it different. Infinite Warfare, it added a lot of different elements with the space travel stuff. That was
Gage,
fine.
Gage. I hear what you're saying, and I appreciate that, but
ice cold.
Brutal. But no, like. I can't describe how many times, like, especially around the time like Advanced Warfare came out, I received the game and I played through it all, and I don't remember a single thing about it. I legitimately could not tell you a single set piece because the entire game was just a blur of mediocrity, and that's how most FPS campaigns are aside from people who are super, you know, into like noticing all the specificities and wanting to argue about it. Like, I've seen so many people argue about like all the intricate differences between the different Call of Duty games and why one multiplayer mode is like superior completely to another one. And meanwhile, I play it and I'm like, I legitimately don't see any differences. It's the exact same experience.
Yeah, but you gotta admit that's a little subjective to you though, right? Because right now what I'm hearing from you is like if anything Call of Duty or EA puts out, you're ready to hate it right away.
No, that's
what it sounds like to me.
That's the thing is I don't hate it because EA put out Titanfall 2 and I dig the shit out of that campaign because it was actually good.
Yeah, it was. It was great.
Yeah, no, that's the thing is when you make an actually good product, then it will be respected. But if you keep putting out like the same shovelware, like I'm not going to respect it because I study game design quite a bit. And when I see, oh, I know exactly what they're doing here. Like, oh, they're just going to keep respawning shit. Oh, they're just like, I understand how you're trying to progress me through this linear chain that you arbitrarily decided rather than like allowing for any sort of fun. And then I get bored.
Yeah. I mean,
I see through the carrot on the stick.
Yeah. I mean, it's not that I'm going to instantly hate it. That's, I'm going into it skeptical so that. If it disappoints me, it's going to be a very low bar for it to disappoint me. You know, it's got to do something spectacularly bad for me to go, wow, that was trash. Or, you know, I'm going to be pleasantly surprised because I'm already setting the bar really low for them. And then they'll come out. And as you said, with Titanfall 2, I wasn't expecting anything. Let's be honest. I wasn't expecting a damn thing. I played Titanfall 2 and I fucking loved the shit out of that campaign. And then I played the online.
It comes up with one of the coolest and most innovative features in like any game and throws it away after a level because it doesn't want things to stagnate and it wants the pace to keep reflowing. Like that time travel shit is one of the coolest things I've seen in any game. Actually, though.
Having to switch timeline while like trying to solve puzzles and stuff, I thought that was fantastic. It was such a good mechanic. And then the fact that they got rid of it was like, yeah, you've had that. We don't want to overdo it, so you know that's a thing. Now we're going to move on to this other thing, and I thought that was great. So I'm kind of excited to see what Star Wars Battlefront 2 does. Mm-hmm. But in the same breath, I'm kind of like, yeah, it could suck.
I just hope it's not okay. This is the one we released a couple years ago. Just we've added, you know, the prequels and the current trilogy in there, but it's the exact same. Stuff. That's the one thing. It's just like a remap, which is like different things. It's like that's another reason I want. Hopefully, there is a campaign if they're going to go with like an actual story, possibly with cutscenes because cutscenes are cool, and you don't really see cutscenes.
Well, they said
I don't know. I'm just so worried about it, but also I'm excited. So I'm like, ooh.
They said the story.
I'm at the minute. I'm really ready to jump into. Battlefront 2 comes out, I will be on it. Because when the first one came out, it just didn't capture me. I need to be persuaded with first-person shooters. The only ones that have ever really grabbed me kind of multiplayer-wise have been Titanfall 1, which I thought was really good. Because I think it was kind of the first game to innovate the kind of wall running, jumping, kind of very...
Yeah, and then every game copied it.
Badly. Yeah. That really grabbed me, and Overwatch as well, but that is because it's an online shooter with story, and it's told in different ways, which I thought was really interesting. So you're not just kind of sitting there running around shooting people. At the minute, I'm playing Wolfenstein The New Order for the first time.
Fantastic.
And loving that. It's really good. I'm enjoying it. The gameplay is pretty stagnant, but the story is interesting enough to keep me going. So that's the reason I didn't buy Battlefront 1, sorry, is because I didn't want to jump into a multiplayer game with no story. So I'm kind of ready to jump in this time and see what they've got to offer.
I think it's very easy to heavily underrate just like how critical the gaming audience is now of,
Of
these generic experiences. Like, again, you're saying like vocal minority, but I think it's at this point, it's been 10 years since COD 4.
Mm-hmm.
And at this point, you know, I could play COD 4 and I could play Infinite Warfare. And I don't think the games like as a generic like game console, they follow the same blueprint. Whether or not there's, you know, fancy frills and stuff attached to that, it doesn't change the fact that it's the same blueprint. And you can only play the same game so many times. Even people who are super into the franchise, like I know when I was in high school, like, all my friends would just play COD games. Now, I don't know a single person, like, in my social group who has bought a COD since, like, Advanced Warfare, because everyone's over it. Everyone's done with that.
I mean, that's just your social group.
That is just my social group. That is just my social group.
It was the best-selling game of last year, though. So yeah, I don't think it matters what they do. It is not, you can complain. The most disliked video on YouTube for game trailers, it still outsold every other game. It doesn't matter. They're going to keep doing it, and it's going to keep being the same as long as people buy it.
But here's the thing, is that I think it has to do with, like, shifting generations as well. Whereas the people who were playing those aren't anymore. The people who are now playing them weren't back then, because they have a low holding rate. Or they're just people who don't care about, like, you know, refining their experience, like people who just need a new game to play. And but the thing is, like, the more vocal consumers, the ones who are going to be changing stuff like that, you know, do care. Like, especially with Battlefront, like, it, sure, the gameplay was great and the graphics were great and all the stuff was really great, but it had, like, no content. So people expressed that, and now they're saying there's not going to be a season pass for Battlefront 2. You know, they're saying all this stuff because they're literally going back on everything that went wrong with the first game, because guess what? People were complaining, rightfully so. And the company is actually understanding that, which is really great to see. And that's why people are complaining. You can say as much as you want, oh, it doesn't matter what people say, they're just going to keep doing it. But EA is proving right now that they're actually learning.
Well, I think they've proven that they were learning with the first game when they did add, you know, free updates that gave you offline mode. You know,
yeah, that, two-player that wasn't mode them learning. That was them going, oh, shit, you know, we need to, like, actually, like, kind of fix something. But they were doing it the best they could, but they'd already built up the bad foundation of you have to pay like $120 for the full game.
Well, that, I mean, so you can say it was learning because they made a mistake with it, and they're learning from their mistakes. I think it's the same thing.
It was just not a good time to find out. They should have found out beforehand. Just all going, hey, we're going.
Well, when you acquire a Star Wars license that fast, it's like, all right, we're going to make a game immediately. So, I mean.
Mm-hmm.
I'm sure DICE didn't have a good time being rushed on it when they want to do their own thing, but, you know, shit happens.
And also, the problem is with, like, things like that, especially with Star Wars, and especially with EA, as well, you know, there's, of course, like, putting love and thought into a game, but then there's also trying to get a profit. And with Star Wars, you just have to slap the name on, and bam, people are going to buy that, like, no matter what.
It'll happen.
Unless it's a Kinect dancing game. People still did buy that.
That's another example of, again, even the
dancing game. Especially.
That's another example of even the most casual audience not wanting something. Like, think about how Guitar Hero died. Like, people just got over that phase.
It was because they decided to listen to the 50,000 people that wanted the game back, but not the other million of people who already played the previous games, and, like, we don't need to have that crap in our house anymore.
Yeah.
Well, that's the problem.
Are we done with this topic? Because I just saw something.
Ooh.
That some Doctor Who news. There's been
the new season launched, right?
No, there's been a report of who the new Doctor will be.
Oh no, who is it?
You know Love Actually.
Oh no, not him. Why is it a man? Sorry,
No, you know Love Actually. You know the guy who goes to America to have sex with all the girls?
Yeah. Wait, is he going to be the new Doctor?
There's reports that it's possibly him. I don't want to say it's definitely... I know. Okay, let's discuss. Because
he's not a bad actor. And he's got enough quirkiness to pull it off. I don't think he'll be bad. I just... I'm over it. I'm still playing him in Charlie Cruiser.
It's like Peter Capaldi, I thought, was a great choice because he is, like, he added something different. Chris Marshall, he'll add something different, but I just...
Let's be honest, though.
I know him as the bloke from, like, is it the BT adverts? And he's just kind of dull.
I know him as Nick from My Family.
Yes.
And I fucking loved that show, so...
I actually think he'll be good. I think he'll be really good. I'm just not ready for it. Like, we needed something a bit different, I think. I think he's going to go back to being really kind of Matt Smith about the whole thing. I'm not down for it.
I mean, I wasn't a fan of Matt Smith anyway, so.
I don't know how I feel about it. I don't know how I feel.
But is it just one Capaldi?
I really watched none of like the Capaldi stuff. I stopped at that point.
No, I
don't even know why.
Yeah, I'll admit, like, I watched some of Matt Smith's. I was like hardcore Tenant, so I'm like one of those people. But Matt Smith, and I think it was also just the writing that didn't help him. It's the show for me has just become too much. It's too complex. It's not a kid's show, really. It's just, but I don't know how I feel. It's like, I don't know what the writing will be like if it is him. Like, I don't know.
I think what needs to happen is they need to let it go for now. Just let Doctor Who fade back out of relevance again. Be like, yeah, no, we had a good run. We did a good thing.
Yeah.
We're now going to let it go for a bit. And, you know, 20 years down the line, if people think, hey, you know what could be good? Let's make another Doctor Who. Do that. Yeah, but now...
They did have... Haven't they just had a year off? And now they've come back.
Maybe.
I think so.
They really needed something new and something different, and this is not it. I think you'll see it disappearing very soon after this next Doctor.
Yeah, I mean, it's just it's a shame because I mean, it's just I'm not excited about it anymore. All I know about the new series is that Bill, the new character, is gay, which, yay, I'm glad for that, even though has everyone forgotten Captain Jack Harkness? And I know, second right? of all, yeah, I was yeah, like, I saw people, do you remember the guy who literally
reacting to that, yeah.
I was like, everyone slept with Jack, I mean, but, and the other thing is I know that, okay, Missy's back, the Master's back, they're somehow, I don't know the character Missy, I think she's the Master, but now John Sim, who I know as the Master, is now back, even though the Master is dead. It's,
why are you expecting people to stay dead in TV shows?
Because I like people to see.
There comes a point.
It's sort of like, you know, it's just feels like with most of the things, like they play off nostalgia and they play off past characters. The only reason everyone watched the 50th anniversary is because we knew that, like, David Tennant was coming back and Billy Piper was coming back. And
Chris wait, Spencer they were in that? I didn't yeah. see it.
Well, Billy Piper came back as Rose Tyler, but she wasn't. She wasn't Rose Tyler. She was like Bad Wolf. But she was like a vision, and she was all weird and quirky, like
a vision.
Every woman in modern day Doctor Who, but it was bad. It's just not the same, and it's such a shame. Hello, right?
I like how Gage just like decided, all right, now's a good time for me to go get a drink.
I don't know shit about Doctor Who, so I wasn't gonna try to have any input on that.
Before we move on from this topic, it's probably important to say at the time of recording this podcast, it's just one report in the Sun that is saying this, as far as I can see.
Oh, God, you're basing this off the Sun? Oh, Jesus. Maybe.
I wouldn't even
wipe my ass with the Sun.
Hold your horses. It started with the Mirror.
Oh, well,
it's because they're more reliable.
Listen, the thing is, at this point I'm not really
rated B for bullshit.
I don't really care who the next Doctor is, like, personally, from like, I'm not emotionally like invested, but I do want to know just to see, and I can laugh at how it's going to flop terribly.
Guys, are you telling me he found out tonight that the next Doctor was going to be Helen Mirren, you wouldn't watch the next series?
Oh, I watched the shit out of that.
I'd watch that.
There you go.
Yeah, but I'm not like, if it was like, oh, here's someone that is either predictable or someone that is like basically who they're probably going to cast, because let's be real, they are probably never going to cast like Helen Mirren or Idris Elba or whoever else is in the running.
No, because... but they are thinking about casting Idris Elba as the new Bond, which...
Yeah!
I'm all about that. It's either him or Tom Hardy. if you're gonna do Bond, get Tom either
Hardy
of those
would actually
in.
Be sick. Yeah, Tom Hardy would actually be sick.
Everyone, do you know what? I don't. You know, I take Tom Hardy. The one I don't like is Benedict Cumberbatch and Tom Hiddleston, because of course every British role must be given to them.
I am so like, over those guys. I
Tom
don't...
Hiddleston's an asshole, and Benedict Cumberbatch looks like an alien. Can we move on from them, please?
All right, Chloe. So you're a woman. What is the female appeal to those two guys? I don't get it. I really don't.
404 not found. I don't understand it personally. Benedict Cumberbatch looks like a lizard, and Tom Hiddleston,
he just looks slimy all the time. I don't get it.
He looks boring. It's like I just don't. He's not like I don't know. I don't know why girls hate themselves so much to sink so low.
Wow, brutal.
I'm not pulling your punches.
No, but on a serious note, I don't understand. Tom Hiddleston don't really. They just play dark and brooding characters, and they're the ones that get the most attention, I guess. So that's their popularity explained, and oh, they can recite Shakespeare.
Yeah, but I don't think
Benedict
Cumberbatch, because he can recite Shakespeare. I think people fancy Benedict Cumberbatch because he was Smaug the Dragon. I mean, surely that's why, right?
Because he dressed in a mocap suit and he thrust the floor and like sounded like he just had like
himself.
A really
yeah.
bad cough.
Yeah, that's surely why. that's what I put my money on.
Do you know what? I had a Tumblr phase, and I regret it thoroughly. But the number of people that genuinely were turned on by that is fascinating. It's like watching
it's
a documentary. It's fascinating.
I mean, Tumblr is the place
Tumblr.
You go to get turned on by weird shit anyway, right?
Basically, yeah.
I haven't stepped on that dangerous soil in almost a year, thank God. But it's definitely an entertaining place if you want to see how some people live.
I did not know how you were going to end that sentence.
Yeah.
Fascinating place if you want to see ...
You finish that sentence.
No, I can safely say I've never made a Tumblr, and I never intend to. I get all of my get all of my sort of Tumblr-ness from, you know, meme posts and shit like that. So
not a bad use actually.
Yeah, I mean, if I was going on Tumblr, I'd literally just want to go on there to play Find the Vegan.
Do you know what? There's not a lot of. I don't remember there being any vegans. Wow.
You mean
no,
their first Instagram. Post wasn't just like, I'm a vegan?
Yeah.
No.
Post one.
I don't remember anything like that, no. It's mainly just, it was like, naturally, if you put like five people in a room, you're eventually going to fucking hate each other. That's literally what Tumblr is. Like, just loads of people that you all know in the same room, but you just don't leave, and you're like, please, can you fuck off eventually? And it's just, that's literally the best metaphor I can come up with. And you just, it's like, you just, you know, you got one half of the room screaming really loudly about, I don't know.
It's an echo chamber is the word you're looking for.
Yeah, and it's just, it's a headache.
It's a thing.
It's a headache.
That happens.
And it's very scary. it's like genuinely terrifying.
Yeah, it strikes
rambling.
Me as the kind of place I don't want to go. And
I hate using the word toxic, but it's toxic.
Anyway.
All right, so moving on.
Yeah, I was gonna say. Now seems like a good time for a topic cycle. Who's got? I know Gage and Dale have very similar topics, actually.
Yeah, I can go next.
I wanted you guys to actually fight to the death over it, but I guess that's an easy solution.
Ah, that
well,
comes
I'll
later.
That
don't worry.
Yeah. So, I'm gonna introduce this topic by saying, sadly, I feel like one of my most treasured appliances is suffering from chronic dust syndrome, which is where you don't touch it because you have nothing to play on it. And at the minute, it's my Switch. Oh, it pains me to say it. So I finished Zelda. I've had a kind of look around the store, see what else the Switch has got to offer. And I think it's really lacking at the minute. I'm not impressed with what they've got there so far. And I know we've got games coming up. I know Gage is going to talk about the Nintendo Direct shortly, which obviously has some games, or many games for the Switch. Most of them ports. And then I'm kind of excited for the new Mario Kart 8 Deluxe Edition that's coming out in later this month. I think it's the end of April.
It's going on like a week.
Yeah, but it's a port. It's a better version of a Wii U game, essentially. So I'm just wondering what people are thinking Nintendo need to do so that this console that people bought and were really excited about doesn't go and sit in someone's corner and gather dust.
I feel that they need to do two things.
Mm-hmm.
All right. I mean, I'm coming as a guy who got his Switch 3 days ago and has literally not put it down, but that's because I've got Zelda to play at the minute. But I still think they need to do two things. They need to release Hyrule Warriors on the Switch, because
interesting,
it needs to happen. I haven't played it, and I feel like it would be a very good addition.
This is the one that came out for Wii U and 3DS, right? But the 3DS one was so broken, no one could play it.
Yeah, yeah, that's the one.
And they also need to bring out oh shit, what was the name of it? It was Fire Emblem something. It was a very similar style to Hyrule Warriors.
Well, that game's coming.
Yeah, and, well, you just need to get them out.
Okay.
Just make them happen, and, you know.
Well, I think half the problem with what you're talking about is you want a port already on the Wii U, on the Switch, and most of the games that are out there are ports. And they're not enticing at all to the market right now.
I guess.
Like I own two games for the Switch. I own Zelda. After I beat Zelda, I haven't touched it, and I own Snipper Clips, and I only play that when somebody else is here. I don't play that single player at all, because that doesn't seem fun. I've had the same problem Dale has. I don't touch the thing. I've played it once in handheld mode when I left the house, but like, I don't play it. I like it. I think it's a cool piece of hardware, but I don't. I still, back to launch on this, you know, a month ago, I still think that this console was not ready.
The launch was half baked. Like, the reason, again, like you said, Gage, the reason they launched the Switch when they did is the hardware was done and Zelda was done and they couldn't sit on Zelda, so they just launched the console. Yeah. But the console itself is not ready. It's just, it's built. The hardware's ready. And they hit the bare minimum checklist and then said, all right, let's go.
Shit, one of the biggest problems is when you take it handheld mode, like if you're in a hotel and you want to connect to the Wi-Fi at the hotel room, you can't because it doesn't have an internet browser. You can't log into the hotel rooms.
That's a very Nintendo problem, though. They've had that problem. I mean, it was...
With the 3DS, you'd think they'd fix that, though, but they don't.
Yeah, I know. I mean, I have a 3DS, and it was my traveling console for a while. It's now the Switch, but it was the 3DS. And it was so painful trying to connect to any Wi-Fi anywhere that wasn't your home. I can't believe they launched the Switch.
I couldn't even connect at home.
Really?
I couldn't even connect at home.
Oh, really?
On the Blink, it was bad. I had like one of the first versions and I'd never got an updated 3DS. But one thing I wanted to say is, like, I'm actually thinking about getting a Wii U because I just checked and it's gone down to £100, so I'm gonna get the Wii U. But for me, I'm only going to be getting it because there's some Nintendo games on there. If there are any sort of games, like if they brought Skyrim to the Switch, that wouldn't make me want to buy it because you can buy it on like so many other platforms already.
Yes.
So I think it's more, you know, Nintendo relies so much on their exclusive titles like Mario, Zelda, Fire Emblem. I don't play much of these, like Monster Hunter. There's so many games that I don't play. Like Splatoon. I just personally, they're not
Splatoon's
for me.
Splatoon's godlike.
Yeah, personally, they're not for me. I haven't played Splatoon. That's one that I've got to pick up when I buy a Wii U eventually. But it's like, it's not worth money. That's why I'm finally getting...
Like, the Wii is already dead. So a multiplayer-only game will not be alive at all.
Oh, no, but it's more sort of... You know, I want to get a Wii so I can finally play, you know, like, Wind Waker HD. And I can play Mario Kart 8. Because I can't afford a Switch right now. And personally, with what you're saying,
I mean,
doesn't seem like a good time to buy it. But there are already a ton of games on the Wii U.
As much as the Wii U
might be like a dead space, but, you know.
Right. as much shit as the Wii U gets, it has a decent library that's worth playing. So
yeah, exactly.
There's no problem buying one.
I'm not talking about
that. Yeah, but for opposed to not getting picked because it's online only. Yeah.
So I was going to say I'm not necessarily opposed to the Switch getting these ports from the Wii U. There are so many good games that are trapped on that old system that some people are never going to get to experience. And Mario Kart 8 is going to be one of them. But they can't just rely on that.
That's what I'm trying to get to.
Here's what the Wii U needs. Here's what the Wii U needs real quick. I'm going to run it through. The Wii U needs Super Smash Bros. For Switch. Like, just either a new Smash or just an updated version of the Wii U game, which is very likely from rumors I've heard.
Yeah, It needs
Super Mario Maker.
Yeah,
that's coming, I think.
Yeah, they haven't confirmed anything, but it should.
I mean, that'll be an E3 thing.
Yeah, they should slap Bayonetta and Bayonetta 2 on it.
I think a lot of these things, they're like, we can probably see it happening, like, whether it's a sequel or a port. I feel like, you know, we've already got, like, Mario Maker on the 3DS now. I'm not going to get it, but, you know, it's probability. And I mean, again, that's another thing, I want to play Mario Maker. That's still only on the Wii U, so at least I'll get to play that for a bit. But, like, there's so many things where it's either, like, they're like, oh, yeah, it's another Mario Kart, but I think what's frustrating is, like, at least with the Wii U, even though it wasn't the most successful console in the world.
Not even close.
It didn't have a Zelda game, which, you know, we actually got one for this one, so hooray. That, the thing is, people are so excited about it, and it's like, are we really going to praise a company for, like, releasing one game when it should have come out years ago? But that's none of my business. And then you've got, like, okay, a new Mario Kart game, cool, it's a different one, that's cool. But the thing is, they haven't promised anything, really, have they? They're saying we've got ports, we've got this coming up, we've got that coming up, but it's the same sort of stuff, or again, it's a very niche audience. I don't play Yo-Kai Watch, I don't play this. Looking in from the outside, you know, I'm not an amiibo collector. Nothing's selling for me.
The ports work because people who didn't own the Wii U are picking up the Switch because it's a cool piece of hardware. And so they're getting a chance to play these games. But like with Mario Kart had one of the biggest attach rates for the Wii U, you know, while the console was, you know, alive. So people who already have the Wii U probably already have Mario Kart. I don't know if they're necessarily going to buy it again. I mean, I am, just because I'm a dumbass gamer who just buys everything.
But also because it has to defend it, it has got new features.
It's got battle mode.
New characters, stuff like that. I think another thing as well, which is kind of telling, is it the Classic Mini that they released, where you can like update everything? They've now stopped that because they realized people won't need a virtual console anymore to like buy the games again.
Yeah,
and I think that sums it up.
I mean that cancellation didn't really surprise me. I didn't think that was going to stay on store shelves very long anyway, because it's a very gift kind of, you know, product. It's not like something they want to bank business on.
It's interesting though that they stopped it so quickly when they hadn't even restocked it for the second time. I'm not sure about Nintendo right now.
How much are they selling the NES Classic for?
Over here it's $60.
I think it's 50 over here.
The likelihood is then that they're planning to release the NES Classic games package for the Switch or something like that. I mean, exactly. I wouldn't be surprised if you see those games or that collection of games appear on the Switch at some point in the future.
Oh, yeah. And then they said that the virtual console is going to feature NES and SNES games.
Yeah.
Just like that. You're buying the same games again. Yeah. You get another $12 on Mario 1.
Yeah. It's literally just money. That's all it is.
I think the major problem Nintendo's facing right now is, based on what you guys have all just said, is that, you know, they released the NES Classic. They're porting over old games to the new console.
There's nothing new.
They are literally just rehashing what they've already got.
And the thing is, it's so scary. This is going to sound weird, but it feels like, to me, I'm so scared to shit on Nintendo. Because if you say the Nintendo fans are savage.
They are.
They will tear your throat out if you critique them. But it's like, to be honest, Zelda Breath of the Wild should have been released years ago. It should have been a Wii U release, not an HD remaster of Wind Waker and Twilight Princess.
You know how Nintendo designs their games, right?
Because
their philosophy is a bad game is bad forever, but a delayed game will be good eventually. And like, think about Wind Waker. A lot of people shit on Wind Waker because it has very little dungeons, and you have the Triforce quest where you're just rushing around, you know, doing shit. It's only got 5 dungeons. People shit on the Wind Waker for that. The reason it launched like that is because they rushed the game. If Breath of the Wild had been rushed, and it already has very little dungeon content, if Breath of the Wild didn't rush, it would be dog shit.
Well, like,
launched with Breath of the Wild in like 2014, it would have been a dog shit game. So yeah, I'm glad we got it now because
they
it's one of the best games I've ever played.
They could have launched Breath of the Wild last year, or even in late 2015, possibly, but they didn't because I mean the Wii U only has 13 million installs at home. You don't want to sell
that's
Zelda
reason
to
as
that.
Well for why they wouldn't have launched it
right.
Last
so
year,
they'll give you the new console, get you excited for it, and you'll pick up Zelda, and Zelda numbers will look fine.
Yeah, and also Zelda's a system seller. People are gonna go out and buy the Switch. Because
yeah, well, it works because now no one knows what to do after playing Zelda.
Yeah, exactly. I think we all agree they need a slate of new exciting games. For a good long while yet. I think there are things that they could. I mean, we know we've got Super Mario Odyssey later this year, which again will be another bout of.
Sure, but they shouldn't. They don't need to sit on Zelda. I mean, Mario till holiday. They're only doing it because it's the holiday. That game, from all reports, is basically done.
Yeah, they need to get that out sooner. And then also, if they have, I mean, speak personally as a huge fan, if they release a new Pokemon game solely for Switch and don't release it for 3DS alongside that, that will sell. Mm-hmm. That will sell the system. And
they won't do that though. I don't feel like they.
But they don't have. They haven't had the time to develop it, so they won't have it. But they need those games this year. Like those are the games they need right after launch, so that when people have sunk 100 hours into Zelda, they have something interesting to pick up. Because now, Snake Pass. Sorry, I'm not interested.
I understand.
On a new console.
I feel like for them, it's very much quality over quantity. However, it's just I'm not sure what it is. It's just, I don't know, Nintendo are seen as such a big beast when it comes to, you know, making consoles and stuff and being, you know, different, which, kudos, they've done loads of things and actually started, like, trends and stuff that have carried into other companies' consoles and things. I don't know. It just feels like, you know, they need to sell it better. Or, you know, I'm not saying churn out 10 really shit games instead of spending time on just one, but I feel like there should be more exclusives. Otherwise, it's not worth it.
That's kind of been Nintendo's problem for years, and I am genuinely, after being a kid and knowing what it was like with the GameCube, with, like, say, Wind Waker, where games were rushed and stuff like that, in comparison to now with Zelda, like, I can weigh the pros and cons of both situations pretty easily, and it's a hands-down for I'd rather the games take a while, because it's like, I don't care about having, like, a console sit there, and this is a weird thought when you get down to it, because you're like, oh, well, then what did I spend it for? You spent it to play those games, but, you know, I'm somebody who spends a lot of my time doing a lot of different stuff with gaming, so it's like, I'm totally fine with just saying, that gives me more time to play other stuff. And, you know, it's not like when you commit to buying a console, you're saying, this is all that I've got now. Like, it needs to have all of my games now. Like, most people
agree,
have really something
else. I think a lot of people are wanting something else. Like, that people who have gone out and sunk money into this console, they've
got 300 quid.
Like, yeah, it's for some people, it might be the only console that they're going to go out and buy for 5 years. They might not have another one. They want something to do with it. I think we're probably lucky in that we each own either multiple consoles or kind of multiple games on the go that keep us ticking over. A lot of people won't have that. I think we are unique in that respect.
And also there's games such as 1-2 Switch, which honestly should have just been a much cheaper game than a fully retail.
It should have absolutely been a pack-in.
Yeah, no, it was. It should have just come with the console. And, you know, you got Zelda, so you got like a party game that'll do you for like 2 hours maybe with a group of people. imagine if you're a kid, you know, it's like you've churned, what, almost 500 quid into that, and it's like...
The other reason that 1-2 Switch wasn't a pack-in is because, when whether people realize or not, pack-ins have a price. Like, you don't get, say, Wii Sports for free. It was included in the price of the Wii.
Sure. So, I mean, you could say that, but Nintendo's also making a profit off the Switch. I mean, most companies, when they put out a console for the first year or two, they don't come out ahead. You know, they could have packed in, lost a few money.
The Wii U sold at a loss as well.
Yeah, but the Switch doesn't.
Yeah, exactly. There's a bit of a difference there. But it's interesting how, like, they made a really big deal. They made a really big deal as well that they wanted to sell the Switch at that $300 price point. And with the way 1-2 Switch was being valued, which, I think is too high, they decided that they could not sell it at that price point rather than letting just people choose. And, like, if not, then they would have to raise the price of the Switch bundled with 1-2 Switch to $350. And if that was just what the Switch was sold at, most people who buy it, why would they want to pay an extra $50 for 1-2 Switch? You know, like, the more extras you pack in with what you're selling the console is, the more unnecessary stuff you're giving to the consumer and making them pay for. If I'm forced to pay for a game I don't want, and that's not just, like, included and free, which is the unspoken nature of every pack-in, whether people want to admit it or not, that's kind of bullshit.
I mean,
you know? That said, the 1-2 Switch, I bought it on launch day with the Switch, and it's the only thing I'm using my Switch for at the minute. I reviewed the game for the site, and I thought it was good. I enjoyed it, and I have loads of friends who aren't gamers. I took it on holiday when we went to Amsterdam together, and we used it as a drinking game before we went out one night. And there's so much novelty there to show off what the system can do that it's exciting, and you end up wheeling it out to show people just to give them a taste of what this new console is. And that in itself would have given them a bit more time to produce the game that they need to produce to keep people happy with this system. So I think it was a mistake. And I think they'll look back and realize it was a mistake not packing it in.
Right. I mean, they could have taken the development costs that they were going to, you know, end up spending on the 1-2 Switch and cut into their profits of the actual Switch itself and kind of evened out there, I think. But, you know, I don't run Nintendo. I'm not a big business guy, clearly. So.
Yeah, I'm like again, I'm just, like, trying to explain stuff. I don't think it was a smart decision or necessarily a stupid decision. I just think it's, like, the one that they had to. And I understand their reasons. Whether or not, you know, there's good or bads is a bit different.
Right, but I'm worried that the Project Scorpio is going to run into the same problem the Switch did, where the Scorpio is going to launch without anything unique about the games, so people aren't going to buy it. Switch is
like
bought.
PS4 Pro.
Yeah, exactly. No one's buying the PS4 Pro because why do they need it? They don't.
No, exactly.
The other interesting thing is that if they want it to be, like, included in the Xbox One family of games, you know, then they can't say that it's going to have an exclusive. Because then, you know, then that's not the same. That's a new console. So it's either a new console or it's not. And if it's a new console, then people are going to buy it for that. And if they're wanting to say that it's not, then nobody's going to buy it. So, like,
There's just
got to figure out what their marketing is going on.
There's no incentive to buy, other than if you really like 4K gaming for some reason and own all
that.
And
you haven't got PS4 or an Xbox.
Right.
You know how, I've asked a lot of people if they really care what resolution their games are at and stuff like that, and if they care about 4K, and I have yet to hear a single person say that 4K is important to them.
Well, yeah, we've talked about it. That's a niche market. I mean, because I don't care about, you know, your frames per second.
Exactly.
I don't care about your resolution. If you're running 900p...
But the console developers seem to think it's super important.
I mean, I'm sure they've seen analytics.
In the past, you've had console generation. They were made distinct by how different they look. So I think they're thinking by showing that this is something new, something exciting, something better than what we've had before, it will inspire people to think this is a new generation, essentially, and go out and buy it. I'm not sure. I think the gaming as an industry has developed so much in the last 5-10 years that people aren't necessarily differentiating consoles based on resolution anymore. I think they're going to get a nasty shock when it comes out. I think you'll get hardcore fans. I mean, I'm going to buy Scorpio when it comes out because I love Xbox and I want to see what it's like. But I think we'll be in the minority. There won't be many people doing the same.
Right, we are that niche market they sell to, because we're selling to the hardcore gamers. And I'm like, okay.
Yeah, I mean, I have a PlayStation. I don't have an Xbox. I play a PlayStation 4. I'm on the PS4 Pro, I watched The Thing, and I was like, oh yeah, that looks cool. But again, the first thing I think of, because I can't afford to think, oh yes, that looks great, I'm going to buy that. I had to be like, is it really worth my money? No. Getting a slightly better version of something when I can just play it now on the box they have in front of me.
Right.
It's like, in a way, again, I'm sort of looking inwards from the outside. It just looks like every like company is just like getting their dicks out, like who's got the biggest wang, you know, like, oh, 4K. It's like, I don't care. If it plays the game, it plays the game. If it looks kind of pretty, it looks pretty enough on my screen for now. I'll deal with that. That's sort of, you know. So it's not my niche.
And in 4K, it's not going to give us better games. I mean, your developer's going to need better gameplay to make us, you know, more enticed for that. But
yeah, just on the point of competing on who's got the bigger wang, what we're going to find is that Xbox has a slightly bigger wang, PlayStation is maybe a little smaller, and then Nintendo's is just some sort of like zigzaggy wang that doesn't do
it. Well, it depends. It depends on what you're defining as the wang.
It's a portable wang.
It's a portable wang. Yeah, it's a wang on the go.
Here's the thing about defining wang is that you can say, you know, showing off your wang is a great way of demonstrating, you know, how great your console is, but I think it's pretty clear for like most consumers that what actually determines like the strength of their wing is how many games it's got. And in that regard, even though like the Xbox is a bit more powerful, PS4 has way more games care about. Yeah, far better. I mean, goes back to Gage's concern about the score.
I was about to go back to Nintendo because I was like, well, you've got PS4 Pro screaming about 4K, you've got, you know, Scorpio, and then you've got Nintendo like, hey guys, we're bringing 8-bit back. Do you want to buy 8-bit again? Don't worry, lads, got you sorted. Here's our fifth port of like Super Mario Brothers.
I mean, if Nintendo probably would have benefited by, you know, being more communicative to other developers and getting out test kits earlier and earlier, because I mean, when the Xbox One and PS4 launched, they didn't, because it's clear by what launched with the console that developers weren't ready for this thing, because Xbox One and PS4 launched with, you know, a nice library of games, where the Switch didn't. Their third party support sucks.
Well, I guess in a way, like third party, like people have had the thing for like months and months, and and indie developers have had the thing for months and months as well, but I don't think like people are rushing, like third parties are necessarily rushing, like the indie crowd was on it before that. It's weird. I think a lot of third party developers, because of the state of the Wii U, had access to it and had the kits and everything, so that wasn't an issue. I think their differences was they didn't want to put the effort into developing for it yet until they see the return and the install rate and stuff like that.
I mean, it's clear they don't want to develop for it when EA is giving you FIFA and Ubisoft's like, here, you can have Rayman that came out in 2013. Yeah. Have fun.
So why? Yeah, they didn't have any motivation to it.
But that also shows you third party developers aren't like, you know,
yeah,
in on Nintendo. They're like, well, I don't know. Here, little brother, you can have one of these games. We're not going to give you a big title.
Mm-hmm.
And again, a Skyrim port doesn't make me enticed to get that on the Switch. Skyrim anymore.
I mean, it is. I will say, when you know they teased, oh, Skyrim's going to be ported. Stuff like that did grab my attention, because I was like, oh, cool. So maybe this means we're not just going to get. I don't want to say like there's a certain type of game that's on Nintendo consoles, but I'm saying there's a certain type of game on Nintendo consoles. So it was sort of stepping out of like that box, stuff like that.
Like Nintendo turned 18, they're like, we can play mature games, guys.
The thing is, you know, Nintendo, even though I don't want to say, okay, I'm saying I don't want to say it's this, but it is this. It's mainly for children. It's mainly more for a younger audience than the Xbox or the PlayStation. So.
See, See, I don't think it's right. I think it's
more adults playing Zelda than I hear kids playing COD.
It's a nostalgia machine. It's Zelda. It's an old franchise. It's Mario. It's an old franchise. It's slight consistency. That's sort of Nintendo's thing. So there are a lot of adults that play it, but also it is a good introductory console for kids. My first console that I played was on an N64. That was one of the first consoles and the most memorable. So it is kind of in that way, it is a kid's console in that way. But of course, different generations growing up, I'm not sure what the kids are into nowadays, apart from Call of Duty. But yeah. So
that said, I am genuinely, if they bring Skyrim out for the Switch, I will buy it again, even though I already have that game like 3 times, because I want to play it on the go. Like, if I can play Skyrim on a train, that will blow my...
Well, that's it. They showed you them playing it on like a plane or something, didn't they?
Man, all I want
is... The only problem is, I'm not going anywhere near if it's not the definitive edition, which it definitely won't be, because it won't be.
They're not marketing it as a special edition or anything. They're just like, well, here's the first Skyrim we did.
Yeah, because it isn't going to be able to handle it. The Switch will literally set on fire if you put the definitive edition in it.
Just drain your battery in a half hour.
Yeah.
I will buy the Switch if they put Dragon Age Inquisition with full nudity on that console. And then I'll play that on
public transport. I mean, they're already adding like Payday 2, so I wouldn't be surprised if they have more like sort of mature games like that then. I thought the Payday 2 announcement was hilarious.
That's what I'm talking about. That's what I want to see.
The Wii U launched stuff with... The Wii U launched with plenty of mature rated games. I mean, it's not like Nintendo not...
Yeah, no, it's not like Nintendo doesn't have a precedent, it's just the Switch doesn't have it yet.
But they just don't have any games right now on the fucking Switch.
Yeah, that's exactly it. There's nothing really, you know. I mean, I will give the benefit of the doubt, you know, like every single launch is usually a bit rocky and, you know, it's like, oh, there's a console. Now what? Because usually it takes a little bit for like either exclusives to come out or... You know, the big titles that they're talking about.
Yeah, but I mean, Xbox One and PS4 launched with 20 plus games each. The Switch had like 6.
I bought an Xbox One very early on in its life cycle, and I
got it had Dead Rising 3. It had, was it Rise?
It had Rise.
I think it had Dishonored maybe as well. No.
What was that?
I thought it maybe had Dishonored or a similar game to Dishonored. I remember.
Had Thief. But I don't know if Thief was a launch title, but it did have Thief.
Usually a lot of the games, though, it's like, I don't remember what exactly launched for PlayStation 4. Because I didn't buy it.
Didn't really have much.
Exactly. Like, usually...
Every console's launch is shit.
It's usually... You get 20, like, mediocre games that you play because it's something to play, and then that's when the big stuff comes out. Maybe, like... later, like for Christmas, like a little bit later, just in December or the next year in spring or something
like
that.
The only console I can think of that sold like its best title right at launch basically is the GameCube. Smash Brothers Melee for the Nintendo GameCube.
We haven't seen the life of the Switch yet.
It was definitely Wind Waker.
Super Smash Brothers Melee.
Definitely Wind Waker. You're wrong there.
For the Nintendo GameCube. Published by Nintendo 2001. Developed by HAL Laboratories.
Definitely Wind Waker, though. Let's be honest.
All right. Metacritic.
I was going to have a cream egg while you guys have some bants there.
That's not bants. It's just because Dylan's got a total hard-on for Melee.
My Metascore. Damn it.
Ha! Suck it, nerd.
I like that you're trying to put
number one is actually, dude, I forgot how good the GameCube's library is. Metroid Prime, Resident Evil 4, Twilight Princess.
Oh man, Metroid Prime.
Yeah, dude.
Such a good game.
Yeah, and then Melee, Sunshine, Prince of Persia.
Metroid.
Like everybody.
Dude, Metroid's dead and it's sad, but it shouldn't be.
Do you remember at E3 a couple years ago? When I was like, They showed it at, like, the championships, and it's like, oh, we're going to play Blast Ball.
I was at those championships.
It was
championships.
A really shitty 3DS game, and everyone's like, what the fuck is this shit?
I was there.
And then they showed me the direct.
The audience watching Blast Ball was like, what the fuck?
What is this? And then the next day they're like, Metroid guys!
Yeah.
Just you know so you I think that was actually an alright game.
Yeah.
Just abysmal. It was hard to watch.
It was a good game. It just didn't need Metroid on it.
We gotta sell this game somehow. Let's trick them.
Oh, Metroid.
Yeah. Well, if you buy enough of the games called Metroid that's not Metroid, maybe they'll make one.
Seriously, I'm very cool. Oh my god, it's cream egg. Oh my god. Welcome now.
I mean,
I love Easter.
Continuing with the Switch library, though, I mean, yeah. We've got after Mario Kart 8 launches, we've got a pretty dry spell until after E3.
Yeah. All the rest, yeah, there's no. Sorry, there's no real dates, are there, really?
Well, I've got,
I haven't kept up to date.
ARMS is on the 16th of June, which is the week of E3.
Oh, yeah, ARMS.
And then a month after that is Splatoon on the 21st of July.
I mean, I'm totally looking forward to ARMS. I think that's going to be great fun. But it's going to be one of those games that gets old very quickly.
I agree. It doesn't look like it's got a lasting appeal.
No, it does not.
I don't know too much about ARMS. I've seen stuff about it, but I'm not...
It's Wii Sports Boxing, but with spring arms and, you know, abilities and stuff.
Is it more like a party game sort of thing? Or
maybe.
It doesn't. I don't think it has the party game feel, but I think you can get there with it.
Mm. Yeah, I don't think so. And it looks like it's going to be geared more towards online. I think it'll be good. I think it's going to be one of those games that's simple enough for kids to jump into. Yeah. But it'll be
there
enough,
we go again. Depth.
Yeah, there you go. That's Chloe's problem with the damn thing. It's all kids.
I think it'll have enough depth for the grown-ups to jump into, too. I think it looks... When they were talking through some of the game mechanics in the Nintendo Direct, I think it looks like it could be a good...
The single biggest mistake with ARMS is that they were showcasing it with motion controls.
Yeah,
I've spoken to like six different people who've played the game. I even played the game myself at Genesis 4. Motion controls are dog shit, but the game itself has legitimately cool mechanics, and the fighting game community legitimately wants to try it out and see what all it's got cooking behind the scenes, because it could actually be a really fun and really unique fighter.
Yeah,
yeah. Like,
motion control games die really quickly.
If the controls are janky or just don't work, then that will be the death of it. If they work.
Dale, it doesn't. Motion controls aren't necessary.
Oh, really?
No, that's just how they're showcasing it.
So they always try and showcase motion, I think, whenever they can.
But... Yeah, that's what I was saying. They're just showing it wrong. It has standard controls.
But with Mario Kart, it's probably going to have motion, but you can just play it with...
I hope they're not trying to... I mean, I was... When, in my review of the Switch, this 1-2 Switch, sorry, I said it's an excellent way to showcase what the controllers are capable of, and they are actually amazing. I've been genuinely impressed with them.
You know what? I do you mind if I quickly butt in as well? Just quick to say, like, I played is it Run MCX, like the racing game that's an indie game on Switch. I played it at Resd, and I will say I do like the way the Switch feels. I love, you know, like the rumble is really nice, and I can imagine it must have been really fun, like playing some of the mini games on 1-2 Switch with it. It seemed really, really good, but I think I know what you're going to say, so I'll leave you to carry on. So.
I was just going to say, I think that all of the games on 1-2 Switch play great with it. I mean, some of them aren't fun, but they all play well with the controllers. I hope, I want them to have a game that shows what those controllers can really do. People want to buy, which is 1-2 Switch. I hope they're not trying to market ARMS as that, because I think ARMS could be good without that. It will ruin the game if people think that's all that game is.
Yeah, that it's not advertised as like a motion showcase instead of like, here's an actual game to be invested in.
I think showcasing stuff for motion controls got old back in 2010 at the absolute latest, so I'm not sure if that
Please
like that's even
Star
something
Wars
I should really go for.
Further information.
Or Wii
Honestly,
music.
One of the most exciting things about like the HD Rumble is I want things like when you're holding a your pro controller or something like that, and you go and fire a gun, it recoils. Like, the slight recoil will go in a single direction.
I'm not sure what it is with it, but it was really nice. I was like, it was the first thing I noticed. I was like, really nice. So that's like one thing that, like, I was like, if I get a Switch, that's probably going to be the reason why, just because the rumble is really cool and it looks
The rumble is really impressive. Controller. One of the games on 1-2 Switch is you have to guess how many balls are rolling back.
I was going to ask, because that was the one when I said it must be really good for like certain.
Yeah, games. It's incredible.
It feels like it can like
balls running backwards and forwards and guess how many are in there. And it's like, I showed it to a friend and she was like, yeah, but there are actually balls in this controller. I said, no, there aren't.
It feels like it's more than it's just like, I don't know how the controller's made. It feels like it's more than just like, oh, here's a rumble pack in the back of the controller. It feels like there's genuine rumbling in each area, so it can like.
Well, rumble's really easy to do now. Like, I've seen this technology that's like makes it so that you can have basically like a tablet screen that's constantly vibrating, so it feels like you can feel the physical keyboard keys on it.
Nice.
Like a laptop keyboard, but it's just a screen that's just shaking. But like you can feel keys. It's so confusing. I don't understand. But like the technology of what a rumble can do is crazy.
I love stuff like that though.
It's interesting stuff if you ever want to look that up. Aside from that, we've been talking Switch stuff a lot, but Gage.
Yes.
Just to make sure you don't whine about being forgotten. Did you want to talk about that direct and anything specific about that, or just what we've already sort of been talking about?
I kind of just put my two cents out there when we had that whole discussion, which is why I was fine with it going how it did. I mean, we have the release dates on those games, ARMS, Splatoon. Those are the next big ones for the Switch, obviously. Now, I mean, I think we all own a Switch other than Chloe, but are we? are these enough games to keep us going until we get to Mario, or we see what after they have at E3 to give us through that dry spell of the summer?
I think E3 will really be the clincher, but I'm really excited for Splatoon. That's a game I'm probably going to be playing a lot of. But aside from that, like, I think again, if we look at sort of the conversation we had about like the Switch sort of launching earlier. If we were to consider like the end of this year, its launch lineup, then it'll probably overall be a solid lineup, but they just launched it at the start of the year because they're fucking mental.
You got to make that investor money, man.
Yeah, you got to make that investor money. Like you mentioned, like the
fiscal year ended.
Fiscal year. Mm-hmm. So
I don't want either of those games. I won't buy them. I probably won't play them. And I won't.
You should look into Splatoon, dude, because it's actually hella underrated. It's like actually a fun game.
You know what? One of the reasons I haven't really played Splatoon is because I saw so much of it. That's quite funny. It's a game that I'm sure I'd enjoy. I can't like judge it whether it's good or bad because I haven't personally played it. So when I eventually get my hands on it, you never know. I might become like an esports Splatoon player. You don't know.
Hell yeah, dude. Join the official esports team. We're gonna win.
I really like that the first Splatoon. I thought the first one too was fantastic and highly underrated.
They advertised the Switch with a Splatoon esports thing, I swear.
Yeah, they did.
They did. Yeah. So good.
There you go.
The one thing I would say in the Nintendo Direct that I am excited for is I didn't realize Minecraft was coming to it. Like, I've never played Minecraft before, but it feels like such a good fit for the Switch.
My brother is actually super excited for that because like he and some of his coworkers and college friends have the Switch and they're all going to be buying that and all like be playing it together. And it's something that we totally underrate because like a lot of us don't give a fuck about Minecraft anymore because I was done with that game 6 years ago.
I still play it.
But I've never played it before, and I feel like the perfect time to jump in will be on the Switch. I can imagine there are other people who will think the same thing.
Yeah, it actually will be. So that's actually really good. That's actually really good for a lot of people.
Yeah. I didn't know Minecraft was coming into the Switch. That's going to be really fun.
But again, it's another port.
It is port.
It's not like other games where it's like necessarily, oh, here's a story-based game that you've seen on like five other platforms. Minecraft's more sort of...
Do what you want.
It's a sandbox game. Right. It's like,
I already own it three times.
I think there's more.
I imagine I might have it on my Switch just because when I am out, I don't want to play Zelda for some reason.
Exactly. And like I was saying, like Minecraft's like a nice, easy game. So like that will be one that people put tons of hours into, genuinely just because they can. And Minecraft's always fun.
I've actually never bought the game for a console, so I might buy it for the Switch.
Well, it'll be interesting to see how the controls work and stuff, and what they do with it.
Yeah, I think that'd be cool.
Neato.
Do you guys collect amiibos at all? Because we got dates on those last amiibos for Smash Bros.
Dude, don't care about amiibos. Okay. Personally.
I guess part of the direct, I wanted to throw it out there.
Yeah, that's about all the rest. I have too many. And same. I guess you actually have more than me. You have all the Zelda ones, don't you?
Yeah. Yeah.
Wow.
I'm going to send you, after we're done here, I'm going to send you a photo of like all my amiibos sitting on my entertainment stand over there.
Well, the shitty thing is the only ones I have out are the Zelda ones because I was playing through Zelda, so all the other ones I have are still in like the original packaging in a box somewhere because I just moved. So they're all packed away, so I don't have anything just sitting around except for these Zelda ones because I had to dig them out for the fucking Switch.
Genuine question. Yes. Have you had to use your amiibos a lot? Especially with like, does the Switch, I'm guessing it would have amiibo compatibility? Because I've always been curious. I know a lot of people collect them solely because they're technically like minifigures.
I had used them in Smash Bros. Just a little bit, just to have fun with that. Outside of that,
like, you can use it for outfits in like Mario Kart and things.
And I never did
Mario Kart outfits. Cool. Like I had a me wearing the Mega Man suit, and it's like Mega Man and Mario Kart. Like that's.
I don't use them for anything other than Breath of the Wild right now, and I always made it to the point where like, well, it's a nice detailed figure from Nintendo. It's only $12.99. I'll go ahead and buy that. And I worked at a video game store, and we got them cheap. So
yeah, because it makes you wonder, like, do they have to sell it as a thing that you can necessarily? I guess it's a bonus if it does something with the game, but I'm not sure. It just feels very strange because it doesn't feel like it's linked necessarily to the game. If that makes sense. Well. When they release a game, like, didn't they do it with Twilight Princess? They had a special, like, Link amiibo.
But yeah, like, they had Wolf Link.
Cool, so it's basically, like, Nintendo action figure. But
pretty much. Just for my living area to be like, hey, you want to look nerdier than you do now? Put all this little shit in your house. So.
Boxes and boxes.
Yeah.
But, yeah, I mean, amiibos, again, I guess... they haven't really attracted me because, again, I'm just not personally into like collecting like Nintendo stuff necessarily, so that might just be why.
I just don't collect minifigures. I mean, if the amiibos have got some kind of functionality, that they need to make a really endearing functionality for me to actually want them, otherwise they're just going to be knocked about on my shelf and taking up space, and it's like
Does playing as Mega Man and Mario Kart not mean anything to you people?
I was about to say, I look like Ocarina of Time Link in Breath of the Wild right now, and I think that's hella worth it.
And I kind of want that.
So, there you go.
It's the one thing I do want, and I wanted it even when I wasn't even planning on getting a Wii U. That fucking Yarn Yoshi!
Yeah, I've got all three of those.
The Yarn Yoshi!
You want the mega one or the small one?
Making them. Oh my god! I want one. Test that one.
All right, though. So, I think that's about all the stuff we got this week, though.
Yeah.
Sounds about right to me. Cool. Well, it was great chatting with y'all. It was a good podcast. We got some good discussions in too, so that was nice. I got Easter with my family now. I know you guys in the UK had your Easter already, and everybody. But happy Easter to everyone else who is going to be like listening to this on iTunes and whatnot, even though you're going to be listening to it after Easter, though. So that's funny, I guess.
It'll be live tomorrow.
Yeah,
I hope you've had a good Easter.
Yeah.
Had a good Easter.
We can run with that.
Yeah. But I'm gonna play it out with some music, and I'll catch y'all on the flip side.
I still think Call of Duty's better than you think.
Holy shit.